And at this time, we introduce Kim Verstegen, who is joining us to talk about long-term care volunteer opportunities. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. It's nice to be here.
It looks like you're in your kitchen. Are you in your kitchen or what?
No, this is my office.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, we're doing this via Zoom if people are wondering. But I got a question today about putting up a fake background, and I'm like, we're a radio station. What do we got to hide, you know? So
you're right. I could have put I should have a beach up. I should have a beach behind me right now, but this is the office.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of overcast today, so that would be a nice background to have. But
exactly.
Kim, tell us a little bit about the job that you do. What's your position again? You're with, is it the
so
state?
It's the State of Wisconsin Board on Aging and Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. And what we do is we represent resident rights within residential care facilities and in the community at times if a family member may need a regional ombudsman. My particular role is to reach out, and Ripon is a new territory, Fond du Lac County, for our agency for the Volunteer Ombudsman or Volunteer Advocate Program for Assisted Livings. It's a two-year project, and we're recruiting volunteers to go into assisted living communities to advocate for residents and families if they need some extra support. The program has been in operation for 30 years now in skilled nursing facilities, but we have now would like to expand it into the assisted living communities. So we're really looking for some quality individuals within the Fond du Lac County Ripon community to advocate for our residents residing in assisted living communities.
But you're actually looking for four counties, right? What are the four counties? Fond du Lac?
Oh, you're right. I do Outagamie, Winnebago, Dodge, and Fond du Lac County. Those are the four counties that I'm covering right now. So what our advocates do is they make a weekly visit to a facility, and we meet with our staff, and we'll see if there's any new residents that are coming into the facility that we can give them our brochures and our information about resident rights and an 800 line that we encourage people to use. And if they have a situation, but we like to resolve our situations or any issue within the facility at the time. And if someone reports to a volunteer with the permission of the volunteer, we can report that at an exit interview with our facility staff that we're assigned to do an exit interview with. So if families and residents' needs are being met at the time, sometimes families or a resident are afraid to report because of retaliation, but they're comfortable with the volunteer. I can tell you that from this, I've been with this agency for 12 years, the volunteers make a difference. It's not all about problems. It's about visiting and meeting residents and just listening to them tell about a story, about their life, about what has happened within their life and their aging process. Wonderful backgrounds and people that want to have time. They have time in their lives and they want to share their story. So I'm going to say 75% of the volunteer opportunity is visiting with residents, and maybe 25% is doing the advocacy work, but making everyone feel comfortable and being a support. And we are a state agency, so we also cover the regional ombudsman program, we have the volunteer program, and we also have the Medigap helpline that helps to the senior population 60 plus with their insurance needs. So anyone that has issues with insurance or their long-term care coverage or questions about that, you can go up to our website, which is http://longtermcare.wisconsin.gov, and you could get to our website, and that will give you all the information that you need about the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care.
Do you have specific eligibility requirements for an ombudsman then, volunteer?
Well, for the volunteer program, you do have to pass a background check, and you do have to have a free of conflict of interest. We ask that you devote at least 1 to 2 hours a week to making a facility visit. But of course, we're dealing with volunteers. And so I have many volunteers that do go, you know, leave for the winter and go to Florida or Arizona. But when they come back as a volunteer advocate. They develop a relationship with the facility, and it's a real positive experience. So then they'll come back. So it's not, remember, we are the volunteers. So that is based on their time. So we like people to commit at least 6 months. And once we go through a training process, because it is a day training, and we ask them to adhere to the high quality and standards of the program. So we're the voice of the residents. We smile. We have dignity. We advocate. And we're dedicated. And we empower residents. We prefer residents to speak up for themselves or family members. But we give them the tools to be able to do that. There is a line that people can call outside of the website for any more questions. And go up to the website and you can get this. It's 1-800-815-0015. And that is our call line that people can reach out and get more information if they need it or otherwise use the website. But in particular, my role is the volunteer coordinator, and I'm looking for volunteers to go into the assisted living communities to do advocacy.
So you're telling them where to go on a particular day? Is that what I'm hearing?
Once we go through, good question. Once they go through the training, they're assigned. They're assigned to a facility, a resident, community resident facility. And that's where they go. That's where their relationship is developed with the staff and the residents. And that's once a week, you know, hi, how are you today? And they check in. They get rosters for anybody that's new that comes into that has been admitted to the facility, and they give them the brochure and the information that they may need for their advocacy.
Okay. Do they have to provide their own transportation?
They do. They have to have their own transportation.
Okay. Do they get any kind of a
We don't
stipend
not this agency.
For that? Or?
There is this agency doesn't provide the stipend. There is other agencies that do that we are affiliated with that we could connect to with the mileage reimbursement. But basically we do place our volunteers closest to the facility that they could either walk or it's a short distance for them to drive.
I was reading some of the information you sent me and I thought it was interesting when they said we are a voice for some that don't have a voice. And I was thinking of the actor Bruce Willis and what he's going through now where he can't physically speak.
Okay.
But, you know, people can still express themselves.
Oh, exactly. And we work with that particular person also, those that can't speak. So you can observe. You can observe whether someone's been cared for and taken care of, if they're, you know, their cleanliness and what you observe. Mm-hmm. And, of course, mannerisms. They will, you know, we can identify mannerisms. And that is all part of the communication tool that is part of the initial training. And we have ongoing monthly in-services for our volunteers through the Zoom and with any topics that would be particular to the volunteer visit. So there's an ongoing supervision or coordination that I do with our volunteers, making weekly visits. I train with other people, also our regional ombudsman, so that we're very skilled in the arena of the working with the elderly and the population and the physical disabilities, communication abilities. So, the wheelchairs, one of our observations is making sure the wheelchairs are clean and hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
We train on all of that. I mean, it's an overview. Plus, the volunteer does get a good background on their own support systems that are in place, and they know how to advocate for themselves. They know where their resources are. So, overall, the Board on Aging Long-Term Care definitely is a wonderful agency for a state agency that covers the older population, giving them resources.
Do you have to be a certain age to do this, 18 or older?
18 year old or past the background check, you know, we do, I've had the younger population. Mm-hmm. I had a student that was in a gap year before she went on to be a medical student and she wanted the background. So maybe she was pursuing a gerontology background. But we do, I would like to open up the camp, developing a relationship with students mm-hmm. that are seeking social work backgrounds, nursing home or nursing backgrounds and people that are, you know, students, because it's going to be to the advantage with, I think my quota is 12,000 people are turning 65 a day in the United States right now. Mm-hmm. So we, that was according to AARP. I'd read that. So, that is a goal of mine with this 2-year project is to get to start to develop students into the volunteer program. The other advantage to this, that we're in 32 counties. The Ombudsman program covers 72 counties, so we do advocacy throughout the state of Wisconsin. But the volunteer program is in 32 counties. So if we get a student from that's going to Ripon College, but they live in Outagamie County, we could place that volunteer at a facility in Ripon, but we could also take that and place them at a facility in Outagamie, Door County, because those are all, we're in northeastern Wisconsin. La Crosse, you know, we have a volunteer program in La Crosse, Stevens Pump, Milwaukee, Madison, and then the northeastern part of the state.
A lot of colleges around the state. I'm sure that you could get a few students to do it.
Yeah, so. The students that are pursuing, it's a great reference check for people. You know, it's good experience, great training, resources.
And somebody that might be going into a nursing program or something like that mm-hmm. might give them some insight on long-term care.
Right. Plus a reference then, you know, if they fulfill their goal. So, right. We're all trying to work with students, but students are so very busy.
Oh, sure.
So, and this is not a paid position. It's a volunteer position. So, you know, it depends. I mean, we never stop recruiting volunteers.
How did the program work during COVID, or was it?
It was an interesting transition. You know, we had some great, our leadership team was right there with that because the whole state or the whole country was in limbo with the COVID. And so we are, our agency runs under the Older Americans Act. So there is a federal component to the agency throughout the United States. So we had some guidelines for that through the consumer voice, they're called. And we just started to, that's where our Zooms started to pick up. Within facilities, they usually have a resident council meeting. So we started to hook our volunteers to attend the resident council meeting through Zoom once a month with that. We sent some letters. We did some voting rights, send out information, and we stayed connected. And I did have a few where I took the volunteer. We did some Zooms and we just did a visit. We did it through Zoom. We visited through Zoom. And so it was, you know, just listened and talked and listened to what other people were going through. It really helped the loneliness of the aging population at that time.
Well, Kim, we got to say goodbye because we got to go. But
thank you. Well, if anyone wants to be a volunteer, so I appreciate that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Yep.
That is Kim Verstegen, who is with the State's Board on Aging and Long-Term Care, talking about volunteer opportunities in an ombudsman program.